If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Healthcare for Humans, hosted by Dr. Sundar, expands our understanding of the history and culture of different communities and how to provide culturally responsive care. There's an episode you should check out where guest Dr. Duran details the systemic barriers faced by individuals with DACA status and highlights the importance of addressing these barriers. Check out Healthcare for Humans on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the On the Road to the Gambia podcast, where we are bridging boundaries for global health equity. I am Dr. Carol Penn, doubly board certified in family medicine and obesity medicine. I am a best-selling author and a master meditation, movement, and mindset coach, serving as the director of Tracks and Electives, assistant professor of family medicine at our nation's newest medical school, Rocky Vista University, Montana College of Osteopathic Medicine. I am the proud co-founder of the Institute for Community Evolution. Together with Sunu Ryu, the University of the Gambia, Penn Global Visions, and the Edward Francis Smalls Teaching Hospital, we are fostering a new era of global healthcare collaboration. I'm excited to bring you the amazing stories of 15 clinicians from the U.S. who will travel to the Gambia and exchange cutting-edge knowledge with Gambian medical professionals to uplift communities and empower each other to become compassionate and culturally sensitive healthcare leaders on both sides of the Atlantic. So put on your headphones and listen as we explore this transformative journey to the Gambia.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of On the Road to Gambia, the podcast. So I'm your host, Dr. Lisa Herbert, a board-certified family physician, best-selling author, speaker, and executive leadership coach. And I help physicians transition into leadership roles so that they can become the respective voices in healthcare. So as you know, this podcast is highlighting the steps of 15 clinicians from the United States who are embarking on a transformative journey with the Institute for Community Evolution, SUNY Ru, University of the Gambia, Penn Global Visions, and the Edward Francis Small Teaching Hospital to foster a new era of global healthcare collaboration. So I'm excited today to bring to you another guest, another one of the 15 clinicians who will be embarking on this journey, Dr. Leslie Sharp. So I'm going to read Dr. Leslie Sharp's bio, tell you a little bit about her, and then we're going to get into some great questions. So Dr. Leslie Sharp is a board certified emergency medicine physician with over 20 years in practice. She knew at an early age that she wanted to be a physician. Her mother became a registered nurse during the time where it was nearly impossible for African-American women to become doctors. And she began to show a keen interest in the sciences and medicine in grade school and knew that medicine was a logical choice. She chose emergency medicine because she was attracted to the variety of patients that she was able to see, as well as being able to teach patients about their illness in the effort to prevent them from needing to return for any issues that could be avoided. So over the last 20 years, she has had the privilege of treating thousands of patients, and she is passionate about preventive medicine, health management, and emergency services. Dr. Leslie was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She earned her undergraduate degree from Boston University and her medical degree from Chicago Medical School, Rosalind Franklin University of Medicine and Sciences. She completed her internship in internal medicine and residency in emergency medicine at the University of Florida, Shands, Jacksonville. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Leslie.
Hello, Dr. Lisa. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm excited to talk with you about your career as an emergency medicine physician. Emergency medicine always like scared me. I don't know. It's just so much going on in that space. But I want to just get from you your perspective of what that's like. And we'll start off by you just letting us know or telling us a little bit about your career and your leadership journey. Like, who or what was instrumental in making that decision? I know I read in your bio that your mom was, you know, very instrumental. So tell us a little bit just about that and some other things maybe that sort of led you down the path of emergency medicine.
Absolutely. So when I first went to medical school, I had thoughts of becoming a pediatric plastic surgeon. That was my original idea. Now, I started medical school a little bit later than most people. I had a career first. So when I went to medical school, being a little bit older, I realized the entire time it would take me to become a pediatric plastic surgeon after the 4 years of medical school was an additional 8 years. And I thought about it and said, as much as that would be interesting to me, let me see what else is available. So when I did my rotation in emergency medicine, I was hooked. I did that my third year of medical school, and I loved the pace of it. I loved the variety of it. Nothing, you never know what's going to come in the door next. And that's what makes it so interesting for me. And you have to be on top of everything because you're moving from one patient to another. It's one of those times where at any given time, you're seeing 4, 5, 6, 7 patients all at the same time.
Right, right.
That's what I love. So some of the people that influenced me, I guess those mentors that I had early on in medical school for emergency medicine. And then when I got to residency, I just had some fabulous doctors that I worked with. One of them was Dr. Shauna Perry. She helped to mold me. She was tough on me. But that was a great thing because she propelled me to go above and beyond. And so that's what I loved. Throughout the years, I have worked with some fabulous colleagues at all different places. I've worked in New York. I've worked in Philadelphia. Right now, I'm actually down in Dallas, Texas. So every place you go, you get different input from different people, how they work. And it's constant learning process.
Yeah, well, it does sound exciting and exhilarating at the same time scary, but so thinking about that, you know, and the hustle and bustle of the ER, like what does your day as an ER physician look like and who do you serve? What challenges do you face?
Well, when you walk into the emergency department, first of all, your day starts off when you pull up and park. Because you kind of judge how your day is going to start by how many ambulances are in the ambulance bay. And from there, that's usually you hit the ground running. And there are days when they are relatively, we don't actually use the word quiet, okay? Quiet is a bad word in the emergency department because it automatically means that the next minute you're going to get bombarded with patients. So we won't say that, but some days are slower than others. But if you're in a trauma center, you could have a multi-trauma coming in at any point, or your day may be more of people who are just there because they just don't feel well. They're weak, they're tired. And so you're dealing with all gamuts, everything from people who have simple cuts, lacerations, to the major trauma, heart attack, stroke. All of that can be in any given day. And we do see some very interesting cases as well. We see people that make some errors, shall we say, just errors in judgment, not taking the proper precautions and not thinking things through as far as what's potentially dangerous. So I won't go into some of the things I've seen, but it can be quite dramatic. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. I guess you must always have to have a poker face on. Like you can't show too much of a reaction or emotion to some of the things that you see there in the emergency room. So thinking about, you know, taking this trip now, right, that we're getting ready to embark upon and going to the Gambia. What inspired you to volunteer your time and expertise to the people there, to the physicians in the Gambia?
This was actually a very natural progress for me because I've been doing medical mission work for pretty much 19 years now. And so I've been all over Africa, South America, Central America, the Caribbean. So when I got this opportunity to go to Gambia, of course, it was absolutely no questions. Now, this one is different because it's not a medical mission. This is where we're exchanging ideas with the physicians and the physicians in training in Gambia. So I'm excited to be able to share with them some of the knowledge, especially about emergency medicine as well as functional medicine, to see, okay, how do they practice it differently than how we practice it here in the United States? But also, without the technology that we have afforded to them, how can I make it easier for them? So this is what excites me the most. So it was a natural progression for me to do this. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. So this would be my first time, you know, doing something of this caliber. So I'm excited and just, you know, ready to go. I mean, I'm glad that you're, you know, part of the group, because you bringing all of that knowledge of having done this in the past can probably quell a lot of our anxieties maybe that we're having about going. But thinking about, you know, you mentioned about, you know, learning from them and then them learning for us. So what qualities, what expertise and knowledge do you think you will actually bring forward there or will be utilized during this trip?
A lot of countries like the Gambia, and actually all throughout the world, don't have emergency medicine as a medicine specialty. Mm. So many times it may be doctors who work in internal medicine that cover the emergency department. And I've even seen some cases, I hate to say, where specialists that really don't have the understanding, I mean, they trained in medical school, but don't have the ongoing understanding of emergency medicine, can sometimes be filling in the emergency departments. So what I hope to do is I'd hope to teach them more of a mindset than anything else. Now, of course, I look forward to going over particular circumstances, such as if a patient comes in with a heart attack. All right, what do we need to do? What are the steps we need to take in order to get them the best treatment? So that's the most exciting thing for me.
Hey, leading ladies, stay right there and we will be back with my amazing guests. This conversation is so good that you don't want to miss it. So stay tuned.
Yeah, that's almost like starting a new system or a new way of thinking, right? It's obviously, like you said, a specialty that they may not have there. So you're actually starting from scratch.
Yes. Right? No, they have right. It's not the medical knowledge. It's putting it all together. Make it in the most efficient manner. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So thinking about, you know, all of the things that we want to accomplish there, what do you know already? Or what is your perception and awareness about the medical community there or the medical challenges that they face that you hope to address?
Well, there are some challenges that have become more and more prevalent throughout the world. So high blood pressure is one of the main things. So anything cardiovascular disease, so important. Diabetes is slowly creeping in as well because we're adding so much sugar to our diet. And it doesn't matter where in the world you are, that is becoming more prevalent. Fortunately, in the Gambia, they don't have as much problems with obesity as we do here in the US, but there's so many problems that are just prevalent throughout the world. So I look forward to addressing those, especially things like nutrition. Yeah. Nutrition is so important and it is often neglected, but there are some simple things that we can do to make a huge difference in our overall health.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we'll definitely, you know, learn from them as well, right? Some of the things maybe that we can bring back to the US. So, you know, we hear a lot about these treatment modalities, you know, the faith healers, different treatments by village elders and practitioners. So what are you curious to learn about, you know, when you go to the Gambia, and how much do you already know about, you know, medical practitioners and how they kind of treat medicine, or how they treat rather patients with medicine in Africa?
Well, I am so excited about that. I cannot wait to meet with the traditional healers. The most important thing that I find is they have that knowledge that's just been passed on from generation to generation about the different herbs that are grown around them in their own environment. And some of them we may not have in the US, but just the opportunity to find out, all right, what does this particular herb do? How does it affect the blood pressure? If we're talking about cardiovascular health, how does this affect your metabolism? How that is so exciting to me, because as I've traveled, I remember one time I was in, I think it was Jamaica or Trinidad, and my stomach was upset. And, you know, our thoughts here are automatically, okay, just take a Pepto-Bismol or take something like that.
Right. So
they said, oh, give me a moment. And they made a bush tea. Now, I have no idea what was in the bush tea, but I can tell you within a few minutes of drinking it, I felt fine. And so there are so many things, and I know that's a very simplistic version of it, but there are things, healing wounds, taking care of common illnesses easily. There are items out there, and I know many people may have heard about soursop. Mm. So soursop is in the Caribbean, but it's also in Africa as well. And that is one of the fruits that has been found to be anti-carcinogenic. Mm. And so the difficulty is, all right, how do we get that to the masses? How can we get people more aware? There are so many things out there that are just natural. So I am so excited about that. Yes.
Yeah. I'm excited about that as well. I mean, I think that's obviously, we don't learn about that in medical school. You know, we don't learn about natural medicine and all of the healing properties, like you just mentioned, that it has. And I think there's a benefit to kind of knowing both, right? To having in your back pocket, you know, obviously Western medicine, but then having also the knowledge of what are some natural remedies that we can use to kind of to help blend as well. So yes, I'm really excited about that. So thinking about, you know, your practice in emergency medicine, which obviously I'm sure you've encountered many sudden changes, many unexpected, you know, conditions. Tell us about a time maybe during your practice or during your training where you had to respond to such a situation and how you adjusted to that and how it has maybe impacted you in your personal professional life.
Well, by nature, emergency medicine is constantly sudden changes that you're making. I think I want to go back to a time where it was a patient who was not in the emergency department. They were actually already admitted to the hospital, but their condition started to deteriorate. And the plan was to have them transferred to another hospital that had the specialties that was necessary for that patient. But that wasn't available at the time. Trying to transfer a patient from one hospital to another does take some time. So they called me from the floor and asked me to come and assess the patient. Well, the patient had recently had an ultrasound of their heart. And so there was fluid around their heart. Mm. That fluid was increasing. And so not allowing the heart to pump properly and efficiently was causing their condition to deteriorate rapidly. So I knew I had to do something to intervene. So one of the interventions for that is to take the fluid out from around the heart. Now, of course, ideally that's done in the operating room. It's a whole procedure. But when that's not available, you have to figure out how else to do that. And so I had to find, you know, obviously I'm talking to the patient, explaining to them everything that I needed to do, but it's, you know, anesthetizing that area, using a large needle. And there were a few other things involved to draw the fluid out of their heart. And otherwise, they would have gone into cardiac arrest in a very short period. So being on the floor, you don't have all the equipment that you would normally have in the operating room either. So I had to figure out, all right, what tools can we use rapidly to make this work? So that was a very exciting experience. I had to think quickly on my feet, and it had a wonderful outcome. So I was very happy about that.
Oh, wow. That just seems, that's just scary just to be involved in that, you know, sort of quick thinking and then having to do such a very delicate procedure, right? In an environment that it typically doesn't happen in, which, you know, obviously I'm sure that, you know, going to the Gambia, you know, we may also encounter some sudden changes or unexpected conditions, but I know we're all well equipped to be able to handle those situations. So yeah, so thanks for sharing that story. So, you know, I guess to wrap up, what do you sort of envision as best case scenarios, short term and long term, that will have positive consequences, positive developments in the Gambia, even once we like return back to the US?
Well, what I look forward to is the fact that we are working with the students there. And the students are just at the beginning of their careers. So all the information that we give them, but the information they're able to share with us, I look forward to that ongoing relationship. I think when you visit once, people get a little piece of the puzzle. But the more interaction you have, whether it's physical or online, we do so many things these days, we can communicate with anyone anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. So
having that ongoing education, I think, will be so beneficial on both sides. And hopefully, through them working there in the Gambia, they'll be able to make such a huge difference in their community, because the people, they benefit. No matter how you look at it, the population of Gambia will benefit from this. So I think that's one of the most exciting parts about it. And on the short term, the relationship building. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be wonderful. That'll be wonderful. Yes. Yeah. And I know I mentioned a little bit about functional medicine for a moment, but functional medicine also is, in a sense, practiced in the Gambia already. Mm. And that's part of the traditional medicine. If we can give them additional ways to become healthier, it spreads. Yeah. It just spreads.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. And wow, just thinking about everything that, you know, we put in so far to kind of making this happen and making this a reality. And then, like you said, envisioning these best case scenarios, which we know will happen, is just really exciting. So thank you, Dr. Leslie, so much for taking the time to speak with us today. And looking forward to this journey and looking forward to sharing, you know, with everyone.
Well, thank you so much again, Dr. Lisa, for having me. This is a wonderful opportunity, and I'm so glad I'm part of the Gambia Collaborative.
Yes. Take care.
Thank you for listening and for allowing us to be a part of your day. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to receive any new episodes as they are released.
Thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to support the Gambia Project, simply go to your browser and type GambiaCollaborative.org. That's www.GambiaCollaborative.org.
We hope you will join us on the road to the Gambia.
If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Healthcare for Humans, hosted by Dr. Sundar, expands our understanding of the history and culture of different communities and how to provide culturally responsive care. There's an episode you should check out where guest Dr. Duran details the systemic barriers faced by individuals with DACA status and highlights the importance of addressing these barriers. Check out Healthcare for Humans on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.